ADHD is terribly named because it's not that we can't attend to something. It's that we have a hard time regulating what we are attending to.
Hyperfocus, it's a double-edged sword. It's got its pros, it's got its cons.
We're coaches for a reason. I think if you're doing something like this, it's because you did it for free for a long time.
It's so true. I didn't realize how much growth I would have to go through to just be a business owner.
Yes, this is going to be amazing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's live episode with Jamie. I'm so happy to have you, Jamie. Jamie Coutinho, right?
You've got it.
Wonderful. Yes. So Jamie Coutinho is a master of occupational therapy. She is the founder of Outsmart ADHD, an ADHD coach and advocate, and a 2-time TEDx speaker. As the founder of Outsmart ADHD, she coaches women with ADHD to overcome obstacles in their daily lives. She believes ADHDers are the most creative and capable humans on the planet, and with the right support, their lives can reflect that. Wonderful, Jamie.
I'm just so excited to be here, Sky. I had so much fun talking to you on my show, and I just can't even tell you how excited I am to be here.
Wonderful. Yeah, it was a really great time. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to have you on our podcast and chat with you and chat with Sarah as well. So tell me a little bit about how you found out that you had ADHD, because I listened to a TED talk. I thought it was really interesting. And then you mentioned you got diagnosed, and I was like, wait, how? What happened? Like, that's such a personal space with ADHD. It's always good to hear the story.
Absolutely. So fun fact is that I didn't know I was diagnosed as a kid. So mm-hmm. I was in my graduate work and I turned in yet another rough draft as my final copy for a project because, you know, unmanaged ADHD, I had 17,000 versions saved on my computer. I thought I uploaded the right draft. I didn't. And my professor was like, this is not the first time this has happened. This is a problem. And I'm thinking like, crap, what's wrong with me? So I was talking to my mental health therapist and I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like ADHD, it just seems like that might be what's going on. She's like, oh yeah, you were diagnosed as a kid. Do you not remember? And it's like, of course I don't remember. But the reason I didn't realize this is because my mom passed away when I was 18. I was in my senior year of high school and she's my primary caregiver. So, you know, if I had her around, I'd be like, hey mom, like, what's going on with this? And I'd probably be like, we have the same brain, you know, what's going on? And I'm sure she would have told me, you know, ADHD, but I'm over here just trying to kind of like raw dog life and just found out in my grad work that I had ADHD.
Yeah, definitely. And what was that experience like for you, sort of realizing that? How late were you diagnosed? What age were you?
I was 26, or as a child. I guess I don't know exactly as a child when I was diagnosed, but I found out at 26.
At 26,
Mm-hmm. So it was validating to understand why my brain works so differently, why I struggle with the, you know, quote unquote, easy things that neurotypicals, you know, deem as easy. But I think at least in my community, I've heard so many people that also have the experience. It's kind of like a grieving process because you realize, what if I had known this back when I was a kid? Would anything have changed? Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure because, you know, being a child of the 90s, it's not like they had a lot of information about ADHD. But yeah, it was a grieving process to now get to the point where I'm kind of loud and proud about my ADHD brain. I'm definitely not one of those people that says it's a superpower because it absolutely has deficits. And if you look at the research, there are a lot of unfavorable outcomes. So I'm not going to be over here saying that ADHD is a superpower, but I have come to fully accept my ADHD brain and all of its differences.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people can relate to that grieving process for sure. I mean, Sarah, I know we've talked about it as well.
Absolutely. Nobody sort of has sounded off on this in the chat specifically, but we have for sure talked about this in the past. I've heard it from clients as well, and it can really sneak up on you because, at first it can be really relieving, but then, you know, grief is sneaky like that.
It sure is sneaky. It comes in waves, right? You deal with it and you think, okay, I feel like I'm on top of the world. And then it's like, crap. And then you know, come up to another part of your life.
Oh, this is happening again. Okay.
Yep. So I feel like it's one of those things that resurfaces until you, I don't know if the whole, you know, I can't remember how many models of like, how many stages there are until acceptance. I don't know if we're ever completely at acceptance. But I'm there most of the time now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. And I do remember that feeling of like, oh, thank goodness, this is what it is. Wait, this is what it is? Wait, now I have to go back through my whole life. And there's like this movie style unraveling of just being like, and then this, and this was it. And it was there that, you know, it's like the, you know, those movies where they show you how they did it at the end, you know, Ocean's 11 or whatever they're called. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So, you know, you talk about dopamine in the brain and, you know, in your TED talk, you popped out some neuroscience, which I really appreciated. And to sort of help us with working memory for that as well, I asked Sarah to talk a little bit about some of the research into neuroscience before we get into it, because this is kind of a lot of what you talk about is that impulsivity and dopamine's a big part of that. So Sarah, do you want to take us through what you have?
Yeah. So I was specifically looking for things on like ADHD and dopamine and impulsivity. And I found this really neat brief review. But essentially what it was looking at, amongst other things, was that dopaminergic hypothesis, you know, that whole hypothesis that dopamine dysfunction is the cause, for lack of a better word, of our ADHD. And what this paper was sort of suggesting was that, yes, there's lots of research confirming that dopamine plays a big part in our ADHD symptoms, specifically around motivation, things like that. But also there's new research into norepinephrine and its role in sort of ADHD. And that research is much less in quantity, but I'm sure it will be growing. Yeah. And so that's going to be really exciting as well. But yeah, I just sort of wanted to validate that this meta-analysis of sort of ADHD points to a lot of evidence for that dopamine hypothesis.
I'm such a science nerd that I'm just like, Sarah, you're just talking dirty to me over here, because I just love, I love the science.
Your language.
You really are. And I have to look into it, because when I was going down like a rabbit hole for researching this, I couldn't remember if like norepinephrine is a precursor to dopamine. I feel like there was some type of like link there, but I don't want to speak out of terms, and I'm not going to rely on my ADHD brain to regurgitate any type of like super factual information. But anyway, I think that's really interesting that they're also looking at norepinephrine.
Yeah.
Also known as noradrenaline in other parts of the world, I think it's important to say.
Yeah. And yeah, it's really good. And when I saw you put up the brain scans on the TED Talk, I was like, oh, she's going to like the bit where we bring out the research. Because
absolutely.
Yeah, it's really great to have that kind of validation. And so with that in mind, you know, with that idea that dopamine is a factor, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what you talk about specifically, which is that impulsive action and the benefits and struggles of impulsive action. So do you want to take us through a little bit about, I guess, not explaining how dopamine affects it, but just a little bit about that dopamine connection and how impulsive action works?
Yeah. So I feel like all of the really cool things that I've done in my business and my career have been because of impulsivity. So an example of that being the TED Talks that I got. The first TED Talk that I got was because I impulsively emailed like 10 different TED coordinators and sent them an incredibly like not professional. You're not going to see anyone release a course on this is how you do a proposal. I mean, it was just like, I look back and I cringe. It was so embarrassing. But of all of those emails that I sent, one person did get back to me months later after I wasn't even thinking about doing it anymore. Cause I'm just like, okay, well, clearly I'm not getting a TED Talk. One person did respond back, and even reaching out to yourself and other really big ADHD podcasts, I was bored one night and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to people who are way out of my league and I'm going to see what happens. And to my surprise, people got back to me and it was super exciting. So launching my business was another incredibly impulsive decision. I went on Facebook and was like, you know what? I'm going to launch my coaching business now. I'm not going to wait until I graduate. I've got enough knowledge. I'm going to start helping the world now. Put on a Facebook post, asked so many people, please share this post. Like I need to find a few clients and, you know, start off with my first four clients doing that. So everything in my life that I feel like has been a really cool thing has started with an impulsive decision. Also moving out of state. I could go on and on about impulsive decisions that have aided me in my life, but I don't want to discredit the impulsivity and maladaptive behaviors and things that happen because of impulsivity. I've also dealt with a lot of disordered eating, like, you know, binge eating, because that's a maladaptive way to get dopamine. I'm sure everyone here can relate to doom scrolling. I had to just kind of give myself this rule of like no more TikTok at night, because even though my algorithm's pretty good and it's pretty positive, I don't need a new thing stimulating me literally every 0 to like 10 seconds, which can totally get in the way of your daily life when you're on, you know, a doom scroll for three or more hours at night.
Yeah.
So ADHD impulsivity is a potential strength or deficit, I think, based off of the supports you have and the strategies that you have to deal with your ADHD, and simply having the awareness that you have ADHD and how the ADHD brain works.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And I love talking about this, the strengths and the negatives of impulsivity for that reason. Sarah?
Yeah, so this is screaming like hyperfocus, right? So hyperfocus it's a double-edged sword. It's got its pros, it's got its cons. And I'm wondering if maybe that's the ADHD thing. It's struggling to modulate the double-edged sword, you know, struggling to like deal with the changes between doing well and not doing well.
Yeah, I've heard a few people say like ADHD is terribly named, because it's not that we can't attend to something. It's that we have a hard time regulating what we are attending to.
Exactly. Which,
yeah. So if someone can just go get a hold of the DSM-5 and rename it, that'd be really great. No, I'm just joking. But yeah.
Release the new DSM-5. They still haven't done it. We want to see the DSM-6. But yeah, it is interesting. It is coming back to that idea that you talked about, that dopaminergic, like with ADHD, we struggle with dopamine regulation, and whatever the neuroscience is saying at the time, what that looks like in our lives is, you know, TikTok is very elusive, but at the same time, we're like, you know what? Forget it. I can't wait another month. I'm just going to start my business today. And so there can be that collaboration. I did some research into entrepreneurs about a year ago, and one of the strengths of entrepreneurship for ADHD that they found was the fact that we tend to take action where other people will sometimes go, we need to stop and we need to gather. And so that can be negative, but it can also have that positive thing of, by the time somebody's decided to make one decision or take one step, we've taken like five.
Right. And it's funny because, like Sarah talked about, is that hyper-focus, right? It's like, we're either stuck in this like analysis paralysis, because that can definitely happen to ADHDers. I know everyone here has absolutely felt that. Or we're all the way on the other side. And it's like, listen, I know I talked about writing a book, but it turns out I already have it written and I have like the sequel already done too. I feel like that we're kind of always in that all or nothing. At least I'm going to just say that for myself. That's how it feels.
Yeah, definitely. It can definitely be like that. And yeah, so do you have any advice for people who are struggling with that? Because obviously you've experienced both sides of it, as you said.
First, I just want to validate, before you do anything, just be incredibly kind to yourself. You were born with this brain. You didn't ask to be born with this brain. I'm not saying your brain isn't amazing. Clearly, I think it is, because I work solely with ADHDers and I definitely couldn't work with neurotypicals. My gosh, I just find them to be incredibly boring. No offense to any neurotypicals listening, but can you please put a side quest or something in your story once in a while? So I mean, ADHDers are amazing and capable humans, but if you are struggling, look at the impulsive decisions that are getting in the way of living a functional life, and what can we do about them? And it's very situation by situation, right? If you find that you are craving stimulation and starting an argument with your partner, simply understanding, hey, I'm understimulated right now, and this is why I'm seeking arguing with this person that I love so much. It was really fascinating digging into the research and seeing that that's actually something that we do as ADHDers, or some of us do as ADHDers, mm-hmm. when we are mm-hmm. understimulated. I think looking at that part of it, and it's just like, okay, if I am impulsive, am I seeking stimulation? Is there something else that I can channel my impulsivity into that would better mm-hmm. suit my life, like a business? Mm-hmm. If your business is going really well, also don't derail it with impulsivity, because we are always seeking stimulation. So if your business is going well, like, channel your creative energy into something else. Myself, transitioning to being completely self-employed, which is a new venture for me. It's only been a little over a month now. I found myself with this extra time and space. And I'm just like, I don't want to screw up this really amazing thing I built. So I am writing a book on the side to channel that extra energy so that I'm not impulsively screwing up a really good thing that I created. So you're not going to be able to take away that impulsivity, but trying to find something to channel it in that could be a positive, I would say that'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so important. One of the things we often talk about is, you know, this idea of kind of keeping yourself engaged with what is working for you. So, you know, when you have impulsivity and you struggle with that, there can be this thing of like, yeah, if a business is working, if a calendar system is working, you can sort of be like, ah, but now it's boring, so we're going to throw it out. Mm-hmm. And so often it is about having something on the side, or sometimes adding dopamine to the thing that you're doing.
I just want to chime in and say that it can be really helpful to have a particular thing that you choose to be impulsive about. For me, it used to be my hair. You can't tell now because I have very normal looking hair, but I mean, I've done colors, but like so many colors, pink, blue, purple, all at the same time. Anyway, so much fun, right? But that was how I allowed myself to be impulsive while managing that in other areas of my life.
I love that. I used to have fun colored hair all the time when I was younger. And then I got to a point where I'm just like, I don't know if I trust myself to get to a salon enough to where it's going to look okay. But like, inner me definitely wants pink and purple and blue hair again. So we'll see. Maybe I'll bring that journey back. I love that, Sarah, that idea of, listen, you're going to be impulsive. Let's just find an area that it's not going to screw up the other part. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that is true. I think in terms of like what I've done with calendars and things like that, it's been colors. Going back to like the calendaring system, which I've used for years, and it's kind of, it is what it is now, and kind of being like, you know what, I'm going to reorganize some categories. I'm going to change some colors. You know, actually it makes sense if this color associates with this thing. It kind of like adding emojis makes it different. Yeah. Yeah. Adding emojis is a great one. It's kind of that feeling of like when you're a kid and you have a room or a space and you can't move into a different person in your house's space. You know, that's not an option. So you just kind of, if you've ever been that kid, I definitely was, who like every couple of months just redoes the whole space. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's that impulsivity, but within a contained like space, essentially.
Absolutely. The project management system I've been using with my assistant is called Asana. And we love it because when you mark something off, when you're on your desktop, like a unicorn will like
shoot across the screen. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. My gosh. It's amazing. I'm like, did somebody with ADHD create this? Because this is so, I'm obsessed with
beautiful.
It. Yeah, right there with you.
Yeah, just a tip to everyone creating an app, because I know you're out there. We've talked to so many of you. Put like sparkles when it gets done.
Yeah.
Please celebrate me, okay? It was hard to do this.
Yeah, sometimes you tick it and it's like, whoa, you did it. And you're like, I did. That is cool.
Yeah. My husband's a software engineer. I'm just like, sometimes just, people have told me like, listen, you need to put your services in an app. It's like, okay, well, listen, I literally am just starting to understand Instagram. So that's a little bit out of my wheelhouse. But I have my husband that's a software engineer, but he's doing, you know, 17,000 projects too. But I always tell him, just like, listen, can you just like create an app, just put all my services in it, and then, you know, like gamify it and have it tell you how awesome you are for every single thing you do. That probably won't be happening in the near future. He also has ADHD, but yeah, anyone out there creating apps, please tell us how awesome we are when we get things done, because it was really hard. I want you to acknowledge it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And yeah, it is about kind of coming back in and sort of I've found in our growth, like so much of it has come from being encouraged. I have a business mentor to kind of go back and like make the thing you're doing more fun. And so much can come from that if you can do it. So yeah, awesome.
My business coach yesterday was literally just talking about how don't just have a to-do list, like have a done list too. So I love that our people must be on like the same wavelength. Well, they're really good, right? Because we wouldn't have hired them otherwise. And yeah. They know what works. Anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
We know that ADHD can feel overwhelming and frustrating. And that's on a good day. And we don't want anyone to have to navigate that alone.
That's why we created the ADHD Academy, where adults with ADHD can meet, join, share stories, and support each other in a judgment-free way. If you want to connect with others who truly understand you and learn research-based strategies to help you feel more in control and build momentum in your life and work, you found the right place.
Together, let's transform your ADHD challenges into strengths. If you'd like to know more, you can click the link below to join us in the ADHD Academy.
Hope to see you there. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about what you've done and all the things that you've been doing. And it sounds like you've clearly developed strategies to do deep work and get things done, both in finishing your occupational therapy master's as well as in your business now. So do you want to talk to us a little bit about what that looks like for you?
Yeah. So some of the strategies that I teach on are, we are going to have things in our daily life that are boring and still need to get done, right? So strategies as simple as how can we, kind of like what we were talking about before, how can we make this more fun? If you are a business owner that needs to run payroll, I don't know anyone that really enjoys doing that task if you haven't outsourced it yet. Also, first thing is outsource all the boring things that you absolutely can first before you even look at the rest of it. But trying to make it as fun as humanly freaking possible. Like, are you able to listen to a podcast while you're doing that boring thing or an audiobook? Myself, I love learning. I think I feel like pretty much every ADHD I've run into, they're constantly loving to learn. So can you listen to an audiobook while you're doing that task? Can you set up your office in a way that it is more stimulating for you, whether that is having a scented candle or is your office simply completely cluttered and the visual noise is keeping you from being able to actually focus? I guess the first thing I would say is creating an environment that one is as most conducive to your ADHD brain as possible. Because if you don't have that, I look at that as almost like that's the foundation. If we're looking at like a pyramid, like that's the very bottom is creating that foundation. And then from there, we can add skills such as doing something that's fun at the same time as the thing that's boring, body doubling can be really, really helpful. I do that a lot with my community. It's funny because I have that service for my, right? I have that service like as a paid service, but I use it just as much as everyone else. And I will tell them, listen, I'm having a hard time over here. I have to record a podcast and I'm telling you right now so that you're asking me later because they will, hey, did you actually do the podcast? So yeah, first I would say create an environment that is conducive to your brain, that is very sensory pleasing to you. For myself, I'm sure that I would qualify for the diagnosis of auditory processing disorder if I were to go seek it, because if there are two competing sounds going on, listen, I'm not hearing either one of them. So I need to make sure that any space that I'm working in is quiet. If it's not quiet, I have my noise canceling headphones on. Everything is within reach. There's a reason why I have a cute little basket next to my desk that has all of my makeup and my podcasting stuff in it, because I cannot be trusted to be going everywhere trying to get ready and be on time for something like this. That's the whole thought process, is create an environment that really suits you. And then from there, add the strategies on top of it.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's so important. And the environment is often, you know, sometimes it needs to be changed. Sometimes we need that coffee shop. I've been really getting into, because I'm doing a lot of writing at the moment, going to the coffee shop as, you know, a shift in environment, because that's sometimes necessary. So increasing stimulation in your environment. Yeah, changing your space, adding dopamine to your space. Definitely, definitely. And also, you were talking before, and it reminded me of this. You were talking about, can you do something with a podcast? And a lot of people will say, like, well, I can't do this thing with a podcast. So sometimes it can be nice to say, well, what percentage of this thing can you do with a podcast on? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you have to double check the thing before you press send, or you have to like make sure the numbers add up on the thing before you press whatever you're going to, you know, press save. Mm-hmm. But like the setting up process could be done that way. And that might be enough to get you started as well.
Yeah. And, you know, as ADHD, we struggle with that task initiation, right? So you might just need it on to get it set up, and then you're good to go for the rest of it. Yeah. Breaking that task down into what can I do with it and what can I do without it. I know I can't listen to a podcast while I'm doing focus tasks, but I will absolutely have a podcast on while I'm getting set up for it, or an audiobook or something of that nature. Another thing I want to touch on is, this is not necessarily OT. Well, everything is kind of in the realm of OT, but especially for women with ADHD, let's look at your boundaries around your time and your energy, because we can give you all of the amazing strategies in the world. But if you are saying yes to everybody but yourself, and you're answering your phone every single time your friend Ashley calls you because Chad cheated on her for the 10th time and you told her and you saw it coming, if you're answering that phone every time, it's going to suck all your energy. Girl, how are you going to be able to build that $1 million business when you're allowing everyone to take your time and energy? I would say that's down there with the foundations of living a functional life with ADHD too, is being very, very conscious of your boundaries around your time and your energy, because we have a limited amount of time and energy, and you want to be using it as best as possible.
I forget who was on here and said this, but they said, make no your default.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard for us though, as people, or as those who are socialized as women, because we're taught our entire lives, you know, consciously or unconsciously.
You're the caretaker.
You're the caretaker. Mm-hmm. You're the yes person. You are, you know, you will clean up all the messes in, you know, daily life.
Oldest child. Eldest daughter child here.
Yeah. So you are very well aware of that.
Second mom.
Yeah. And it can be hard, right? Because we wear so many hats, and we are so many things to so
many
people.
And we grow to love it.
Yes.
We're coaches for a reason. I think if you're doing something like this, it's because you did it for free for a long time.
It's so true. And it's so funny. I was thinking about that. Like, I didn't even realize how much I coached until I was just talking with one of my really good friends about it. And I coached her on negotiating a 25% higher salary than her original offer as a new grad right out of the gate. And it's like, I didn't even realize how much I'm coaching everybody. But now that I understand this, I'm very, very conscious of who's going to take my advice and run with it, because that will give me energy. And who is just going to call me for the 17,000th time about the same thing, even though I've already given them my thoughts. So anyway, be real conscious about your time and energy boundaries, my friends.
Yeah, that is such good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to shout out and say that sometimes it's not necessary to gender that statement, right? Males can be put into that situation just the same, just wanted to shout out to everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my emphasis has been like, I coach specifically women with ADHD. So quite honestly, my experience with men with ADHD and other genders is not there. So I kind of stay in my wheelhouse. But thank you so much for saying that, Sarah, because that can be very much overgeneralized. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what, for what it's worth, I've also had clients tell me that they sort of relate to the female experience of ADHD more so than the male experience. And so that was an interesting conversation we don't need to get into. But yeah, just an interesting consideration. Like sometimes there are exceptions to the rule, every rule, really.
That's really interesting. Well, I mean, my gut instinct is like, tell me everything, Sarah. I won't, because I'm going to respect your time. But now I want to go on a deep dive.
It is interesting, the conversations around ADHD and how it works and protecting your time. I think a lot of times I have had clients who, and I've been that person who, the week rolls around and it says, hey, you know, this is the goal that you said, you know, this was the thing that mattered the most to you. And you set yourself up for success on this and you had that time. What happened? And it's like, oh, well, you know, everybody else's smallest inconvenience was more important than my task. Mm-hmm. And that can be very, very hard to hear. It can be very hard to experience. And one of the things I often tell people is, the cool thing, the big thing that you're doing, the book, the business, the whatever it is, the promotion, it doesn't look important right now. Like what it looks like right now is just you sitting in a coffee shop, writing on a piece of paper or putting some data in or doing something. It doesn't look glamorous right now. And so it's not something anyone cares about, but they will, you know, when you've done the work to get the chapter out and you've actually made something, everyone's going to be like, go to your thing. It's important. And right now, you know, it doesn't look like that, but you have to know that that's where it's going. And that could be hard. Even for, I've worked with like very successful playwrights who've had this experience.
And that's interesting because, yeah, it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. Everyone experiences this. And I will say for myself, as I was building this business and am still building the business, it's funny because people, I will speak for myself, my experiences didn't take me incredibly seriously until I was getting what other people have called me as successful. Like you had said on my podcast, guys, like it's so funny because we feel that imposter syndrome, like I'm not successful, like I haven't done anything. But people a lot of times won't take you real seriously until you have something tangible to show them. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be extra diligent about those boundaries and advocating for yourself and what you really want out of your life so that it's not all sucked in with everyone else's minor inconveniences. Yeah,
exactly. Because to get to that tangible, you have to do most of the time some level of deep work. Mm-hmm. And that involves some level of saying no to other things that are happening and creating an environment for yourself and adding dopamine to that environment and all of those kinds of things in order to get the tangible thing that makes people say, oh, you're doing a thing. So it's this really strange, and I've worked with so many really successful people who have a goal that they haven't managed to achieve yet because of this little piece that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, I've told a lot of people, I'm just like, I didn't realize how much growth I would have to go through to just be a business owner. Do you guys feel that way? It's just like, I didn't realize how much I was going to have to look inward, you know, face my demons and figure out, you know, how to say no to so many things, especially in the very beginning stages. I had no idea that this was the journey I signed up for. I'm grateful for it.
Personally, my body put me on that journey before I met Sky. Yeah. Sort of my experience forced me to confront that stuff. And then I like mysteriously, like magically met Sky and my entire life changed. So yeah, sometimes it's about like putting yourself in that mindset. Like what you were saying in your talk, like, you know, having the peace where you are instead of the next goalpost and the next one and the next one.
I was so grateful to Sarah. Yeah. When we first started, Sarah knows we did not look like we do today. There was no podcast. There was no additional coaches. It was just me posting on Facebook, and Sarah was like, you know what, we're going to do this. And so it was like believing
in us. It might be a scam. Let me open up a new bank account.
She really did.
That's amazing. Yeah. Can I ask how you two met? Because obviously, I mean, you can just see that there's like an incredible working relationship. I'm just so curious of like, what's your origin story? I want to know how you guys met.
On Facebook.
I posted, I was like out here in these, you know, just like going like, hey guys, I'm looking for someone to help with, you know, coaching. I'd been doing it for about a year. I had like one other person, shout out to Robin, you know, you said hi at the beginning and she's amazing and she still does all that stuff. And Sarah was like,
and I looked at it and I was like, well, I have all of these qualifications. So like, let's just see what happens.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. I found my person because at the time I was interviewing for occupational therapy jobs as a new grad. And the person I ended up hiring is actually one of the screeners for therapists. And we just hit it off really quickly. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is going to feel like a really invasive question maybe, but do you by chance have ADHD? And she she had the experience as a special education teacher. She's like, you know, I've never been diagnosed, but like, I don't know. I think I might. And I don't remember saying this. She told me I said this. I'm like, I think you're one of us.
Talk about impulsive action.
But she also impulsive action. We connected. I had gotten her personal number after that. And then she was actually texting me and she was like, hey, if you're ever looking for somebody, like I'm here. So anyway, that's how we met. Is really she was interviewing me for a position. And then later on, it's like, listen, I'm here and I really like what you're doing. And she only knew what I was doing because she looked it up, you know, based off of my resume. But anyway, I love that impulsiveness of how you guys met because I have a similar but different story of like, it fell into place. I found the right person just like you guys both did.
In fact, the research does say that the risk-taking element can be one of our strengths, right? Because it means that we're putting ourselves into more situations where, we might fail, but also we might succeed. And that produces more of those situations. Also, we've got a question. Is your business coach or mentor also neurodiverse?
Absolutely. She's autistic and ADHD like myself. And so our brain works different, right? And we know from the research, we know from the research that, you know, they say that we have communication deficits, but really based off of the research, at least the study I know about, it's differences. And we actually communicate very well with people that have a brain like ourselves, just like neurotypicals communicate very well and very easily with brains like themselves. So for that,
according to their own rules.
According to
their own rules.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
That's the issue.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I absolutely, my business coach is ADHD and autistic and she gets it. When I'm over here, like, okay, I am freaking out because these people didn't respond to my email. So apparently they hate me. Like she understands that's rejection sensitivity dysphoria and will help talk me off of the ledge. I don't think I would feel very amazing working with someone who's neurotypical simply because our communication, it would probably be a little off. And I would be over here trying to understand what they're actually saying when they're not being straightforward because I really struggle with that.
Yeah. How did you find them?
Facebook.
Shout out to Facebook today.
Facebook. I found her on Facebook. I
can't meta right now.
Yeah. I can't. And I don't even remember like when I became a friend because I typically don't friend request people. I don't know if she friend requested me. I don't remember, but I followed her for a long time. Just like, gosh, I really like her content. She really understands my brain. And yeah, I found her. I found her from there. I followed her for a long time before hiring her.
I will say, when you look at the research, people with ADHD are like 200% more likely to be entrepreneurs. So if you think somebody has ADHD and they're an entrepreneur, you might want to double check with them. It's in terms of mentoring, that is the fun thing. It's like a lot of the advice you get in that space is very ADHD friendly, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. I guess One of the biggest questions is just, what would you say to others with ADHD who are struggling? They're learning about themselves and about what they can do, and they're kind of at the beginning of this whole journey.
Be very gentle with yourself. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a grieving process. And the moments that you're feeling despair and like nothing is ever going to be better, I just want to tell you that with the right supports, it will absolutely get better. You will get to a point where you really do appreciate your brain. And I would say find community, find people that have ADHD, share those experiences. The more people you have in your inner circle that understand your brain, the less alone you're going to feel. Sometimes I forget the neurotypicals exist because I just surround myself with people that are ADHD and a lot of them are autistic too. And I sometimes forget that I'm like the minority out here because I have curated a life that for me is easier being around people with a similar brain. So I would say find your people, and then from there, find the support you need. You may do very well on ADHD medication. I know it's been a lifesaver for myself. You may really benefit from having an ADHD coach that has a very deep understanding of what you're going through and how to get you from A to B. Find your people. Be kind to yourself and get the supports that you need with whatever that looks like.
Yeah, 100%. That's awesome. That's great. Well, I'm going to ask you some of the questions we ask everyone on the podcast. Okay. So tell us about one professional achievement that you're the most proud of.
I would say my TED Talks. I'm really proud of them. And it's funny because just like I said on my second TED Talk, it's like once you get to that thing, you think you're going to be happy and then you're going to set your goal on the next thing. It absolutely feels like that. It's just like people be like, wow, you did 2 TED Talks. And just like, yeah, but like I was on a TEDx stage. I wasn't on a TED stage. So even though you accomplish that big thing, you're not ever going to be completely satisfied with it. So I hate to burst your bubble, anybody that's listening, but I am very proud of being on 2 TEDx stages.
I love that. Well, conversely, is there a professional failure that embarrasses you, and how did you deal with that?
That's such an amazing question, because as a beginner business owner, I feel like, I will speak for myself, I feel like I'm just constantly failing. I'm just over here trying to screw around and figure it out and what works, what doesn't. I am not particularly embarrassed of, I mean, other than looking back and it's just like, gosh, my proposal letter to be on the first TED Talk was absolutely cringeworthy. But I do see that as a step that I took to get to where I am now, which is why I do talk about it so publicly, because especially for, you know, people who are in, you know, maybe C-suite executives or business owners, you are going to screw up along the way. And I want to, instead of kind of shoving it under the rug, I'm going to give you a magnifying glass and we'll look at it. And I'm going to tell you that when it happens to you, it's going to be okay. And you're going to get through it, friend. But yeah, that's kind of how I feel about my failures. I'm just like, they're all over the place, but they also led to the successes too.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they're sprinkled, but we turn them into a story. We make them part of our journey. I think that's awesome. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And thank you for answering that question. It is a complicated question, but it's always great to share. I think a lot of people get a lot from that question.
Of course.
Okay. What is your favorite dopamine activity? What is the thing you go to when you need a burst of dopamine?
So my healthier dopamine activity is listening to podcasts and listening to audiobooks. Absolutely love that. When I allow myself to have some less healthy dopamine time, you will find me watching reality TV and eating ice cream. And oh my gosh, chef's kiss. I love those things. I am very conscious about focusing on healthy ways of getting dopamine, but let's be real. We all have to have a vice every once in a while. So reality TV and ice cream.
We also all want to know your favorite flavor.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And okay.
Reality TV, both.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Priorities.
Right? Probably if I'm like trapped on an island and I can only have one flavor of ice cream for the rest of my life, probably Moose Tracks. And
what is that?
Peanut butter chocolate with vanilla ice cream.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. and reality TV. Oh my gosh. Can I even just choose one? Fun fact, and I didn't mention this. I dabbled from like, do I mention this in my bio? Do I not? But I was actually on a reality show and it was hosted by someone from MTV's. He was on The Real World and stuff. But he has a reality show actually for entrepreneurs. And, you know, I impulsively responded to that ad and ended up getting on the show. But that's a side thing for another time. But I binged Love is Blind. I mean, how can you not?
Yeah.
And then Married at First Sight, all of those like trashy dating reality shows, pretty good chance that I have either watched it or if I haven't, please tell me what you're watching because I want to watch it too.
Yeah, no, I definitely was watching Love is Blind and we can talk about that, but I'll DM you. We'll talk about that in a different time. Yeah. Awesome. And then the last question is, if you had an ADHD life motto, what would it be?
It would probably be F around and figure it out. And I know that's not like a probably like a politically correct term, but because when we take impulsive action on the things that are really important to us, and that impulsivity kind of helps us to get over that executive dysfunction, really, really cool things happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to have the motto of just like, be impulsive, because it's like, well, you know, make sure that your parachute's working before you jump off a building, but also don't be afraid to take those chances too.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I've heard you say that on your podcast, and I have sort of found myself saying that to my husband as we're sort of going on our like talk and think walk, you know, about where we're going. I'm like, we just have to figure it out. So it is, I think, very, very good motto. Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming on, for sharing with us so generously. Tell people where they can find you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. First off, you can find me at the Outsmart ADHD podcast and also my website, outsmartadhd.co. I do have a free Facebook group as well for women with ADHD. So consider yourself formally invited. And as soon as my assistant is back from her well-deserved vacation, she'll let you in the group.
Sounds good. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Jamie. And I'm sure our audience has enjoyed chatting to you. And I'm sure that everyone is going to enjoy listening to this as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to reach out or connect with us, you can leave us a message at admin@unconventionalorganization.com.
You can also find out more about our ADHD coaching organization, read our free articles, or sign up to our online courses at unconventionalorganization.com. That's organization with a Z or an S. They both will get you there.
If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed here today, or you want to read the transcript, you can find that at our show notes page at unconventionalorganization.com.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and think someone else might find the strategies and stories helpful, the best thing you can do is share episodes using the share button in the podcast player, or leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify or your podcast player of choice, letting them know why you've benefited from this podcast.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you back in the ADHD lab next week.